Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive. That is an artist. It's with several artists involved in the song. John Talabit, but that's a remix. John Talabit with Pionel. A song called Destiny, but that's the bullion version of that, which definitely is different than the original. It's got a lot more unique kind of elements to it. I call it a little prog rocky, a little new wavy at the same time. Before that was Nucleus doing Jam On It from 1984. Reminds both Willis and I of our early younger years when kids on the street would be doing breakdancing. It was such a cool time to sort of grow up. Remember those days, dude, like when the kids would put out the cardboard box and just breakdance? Everybody would gather around, take turns.
Yeah. There was a spot in our school, actually, where there was enough space that they would always gather in this one corner of the quad. And it was fun to watch. I couldn't do it back then, especially the moves they were doing. They wouldn't do head spins per se, but they could do like crab walks and windmills, you know, where you're just continually spinning. It was a little bit later, I think, when I was about, after I'd already graduated high school, my cousin Patrick, he showed me, oh yeah, backspin's really easy, and he just does it one in the kitchen, you know? And he showed me, he gave me step-by-step instructions how to do it, and within 5 minutes, I was doing the backspin. You know, to this day, that's one of my, in my little toolbox whenever we go to a wedding, including our own.
You do it at a wedding?
Yeah, I'll bust out the backspin, and people love it, because you don't expect someone like me to be able to do that.
I couldn't do it back then. I can't do it now.
I'll show you next time you come over. It's so easy.
I probably won't be able to walk for several weeks after attempting it at this stage in my life. I was never a breakdance guy, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I just wasn't at that time when I was growing up. I was a little too chubby to be doing any kind of dangerous movements like that. But I'll tell you what, though, it's just such a, it was a lifestyle thing, and it was also like, all of it is attached to that specific sound. And I think this other song, Destiny, that I just played as a follow-up, has a similar breakdance feel to it. It's very like pop lock kind of electro feeling.
A little bit. I felt with the vocals, I felt a little bit more like rock in the Beck style. Where you've got like a beat, but then more vocals forward for sure, and he's singing, you know. But there, what got me with this song from Destiny was these futuristic, retro-futuristic science fiction sounds and the synths that you heard at the very end kind of fading out really brings me to this movie from the early 80s called Logan's Run. It's about the future, but the soundtrack, the entire soundtrack for that movie has this kind of feel to it, with these synths like kind of ba-da-lum, 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 and every song from that soundtrack reminds me of that part of this, the elements of this song that have that, those synths, so very unique. And this has a good rhythm, actually, too, as far as kind of a groove, I thought.
I gotta go back and watch that again, because I don't remember much of the movie. I know I watched it.
It's one of my favorites.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, that gives me urgency.
I think it's because it's science fiction from an early, way before Star Wars, and so it's more cerebral, not just about the action, because the action actually wasn't that good. You know, they didn't really know how to do special effects until George Lucas taught everybody. But the concepts of living in the future, a dystopian future, and everybody lives in a bubble, essentially, because they're afraid of a virus that killed everybody, right? So the remaining people live in a big dome, but you know, there's population control, because you can only fit so many people, and so you only live till you're 25, and then you have to basically be eliminated and to make room for new babies. So it's a very interesting concept from back then.
Wow.
But it paints itself into one of those movies that you would watch on a Saturday afternoon, like around 2 o'clock when there's really nothing to do. And it's one of those movies that you would turn on the TV and see this movie that really stretches your imagination when you're the most vulnerable, I think, when you're bored.
quite interesting, because I there's an old song, not an old song, a song from the 90s, I guess that is old, The Church did, called Dome. And I was so intrigued by the lyrics of the songs. It's about people. The start of the song says, I saw this film about some people that lived in a dome. And I read about what the song was about, and he mentioned, I watched this movie, you know, Logan's Run, and it inspired this whole train of thought about, like, and the song, it really does kind of tell it. It's like watching that movie, maybe his own version of that movie, in like a 4-minute song. And I remember now that he kind of summed it up, or at least how he envisioned it. But it's just interesting. So, when I think of music, sometimes it is very visual for me. But there's something about how music does, and everybody's different, but it conjures imagery in your head. People see things or hear things so much differently than other people. Like the fact that you found Logan's Run from that song, right? Like never heard it before, that's the first thing you thought about, right? And it's just fascinating to me, the science of it.
Yeah, I guess that's my story, right? You've told many stories about why a song is important to you that are very personal, actually, for you. Mm. Like, for example, you know, at the Mogwai show where all the kids were come running at you and you were not feeling well, and or Empire of the Sun. Anyway,
yeah, it same show.
This is as personal as it gets for me, because I watched a lot of movies, I think, and the music is important, right? It's part of the art.
So important.
And this definitely has the Logan's Run feel to me. And sorry, I went so deep into that.
I love that, dude, because again, anything to me, anything that can kind of bring me closer to music, that's why I love finding out what an artist thinking about or what they were trying to accomplish when they write a song. That's why I like hearing what it was inspired by, or what the lyrics are about, maybe, or what, you know, what they used to record it, or what happened that got them to record it. Anything I can get to feel closer to the music, then I feel like the songs take on a greater meaning for me. And you know, music is very personal for me. It's super important, as it is for you. So your perspective of it makes me kind of approach it with fresh ears and fresh eyes, and then maybe even makes me like it more. And that's sort of why I feel like this show it's rare, because I normally don't think it's good to talk 10 minutes about, you know, one or two songs, but that's literally what this show is about. It's sort of the psychology of the music as much as it is the sound.
Indeed, it's fun. And this is a very psychedelic song. It gets a 4 in psychedelic category.
But still dancey. And that's, you know, normally those two things don't normally go together. Psychedelic and dance are not the same thing. So when you kind of combine these two, it makes for very intriguing music.
And there's even a like an airy guitar solo, I think 3/4 of the way through. So it's got everything. This is like a smorgasbord of a song.
So we follow that path that we just kind of started with, those two electro sounding songs, into more of the, I would say, the most middle of the road song on the show. Something that's sort of indie pop, indie dance, little urban sounding, makes soulful kind of R&B vibes, a little retro. This is the central mark. Every show has it. This is the one on this show. It's Junior Boys. And I think people might not know the band name, but they might know, they will probably or maybe know the song. In the Morning is the track. Tell us about it.
I think I found this through a Shazam. Maybe I was in a coffee shop or Target and I said, hey, this sounds cool. And I Shazammed it and it was this. And I love the electronics. It's super low frequency, synth, like hitting on the beat. Lots of the high arpeggios, which I love. Of the synthesizer kind of going up in the scales and traveling down, and some funky like tweaks in the song here in the middle. It's just a fun electronic song for me, and it's a nice surprise. Actually, I don't know anything about the Junior Boys, but maybe you do.
Well, I can tell you, I wrote it in my little notes here, but the funniest part about this is back in like the early 2000s, when iTunes was all you would have to download music, right? You didn't have Spotify back then. You didn't have all these other elements. So I would download some music And even though I used to buy CDs at that time or records, I still would, certain things I just downloaded, right?
You know, it's like a one song, right?
You yeah. want to buy the or an album. I remember sometimes I got a gift as like a $10 iTunes gift card or whatever, and I'd go buy an album. And for whatever reason, I bought this album because I really loved this song. There were two songs that I'd heard that I loved, and I downloaded the whole album, and it wasn't nearly as good as the two songs I liked, okay? But after years of using iTunes, now iTunes was phased out. So yeah, you could still have Apple Music and buy music, but iTunes itself is not what it used to be. But I had, you know, hundreds of thousands of songs in my iTunes back in the day. So now with iTunes on my phone, it only has all the things I purchased from iTunes stored on my phone, right?
So it's a time capsule.
That's all there are, the albums I bought. And there weren't that many. It's like if you look behind me, you see thousands of records. If you look on my computer, you'll find hundreds of thousands of songs and albums and CDs up the wazoo. But I have probably, you know, maybe 50 or 100 albums I purchased through iTunes. And this is one of them. So every time I'm in my car and my stereo connects to my phone, if I don't have Tidal open or Hi-Fi Dreams link open or something, it'll automatically go to my iTunes.
Oh, it plays what's in your library. Right,
and for whatever reason, the first song that always comes on is In the Morning by Junior Boy. So I hear this anytime I get in my car and I immediately turn it off because
really
I don't want to listen to it every time I get in my car. And then you put it on, but I still have it on Hi-Fi Dream. I love the song. It's not, but the first 3 or 4 seconds, I hear it, I immediately think, oh, I need to turn this off.
That's so funny.
And I have to get through that to be like, oh yeah, I want to listen to this now.
So it's kind of like when people get in their car and you turn the ignition, you hear the ding, 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 like to put your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
And you hear this from Junior Boy.
And then I'm like, oh, I got to turn this off because I don't want to listen to this right now. So when I put it on right now, I guarantee you my first instinct is going to be, oh, turn this off.
Don't turn it off.
No, don't turn it off. But it's a great song. It's like I said, it's kind of like futuristic sounding, even though it came out almost 20 years ago, but I feel like it's like a hybrid of like R&B and electro. It's a weird hybrid that you don't hear very often. But yeah, this is a good tune, man. I'm really excited. So, I'm happy you found it.
I'm glad you explained it because your note says it's a one of only a handful that I have available on my phone at all times. So it made it sound like I must have Junior Boys like with me wherever I go, but actually
if I open it up right now, my iTunes is like there's a Bright Eyes album that always comes up too, and then there's like it gets stuck on certain artists, like it just keeps going back to those same ones.
Right.
But this is I guess it's the first one on my list. Maybe for whatever reason, but yeah, that's why it's always on my phone. And I if I don't have Wi-Fi or something and I have to listen to what's on my phone, I can't go online. This is one of my choices, and there aren't that many, so. That's going to be the first track you'll hear, and then followed by a completely different sound, but I think it's really a cool, almost psychedelic sounding group called Regal Deagle. Not very popular. Matter of fact, I don't know if anybody listening will know this song, but I do think it's worth listening to, and I love this song personally. I think it's catchy, it's different, it's completely obtuse sounding, but deserves, much like I always say about some of these songs, it deserves people to give it some attention. And I'm hoping to hear you have some good things to say about it. We will see.
Okay.
Junior Boys in the Morning, starting us off, and I will not shut this off. I'm gonna let it play.
Leave a place to rest on. The songs and artists that inspired generations of musicians. It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.
Oh,
Hi-Fi Dream is a deep dive. That's a super long fade, by the way. I probably am even going to fade it sooner because as it's going, I'm like, this started fading 50 seconds ago. It's still not out. That's a really obscure group, by the way, called Regal Deagle. The song is called Pyramid Bricks. It's from 2012. I found that in one of my weird adventures during COVID and really liked it a lot and then kind of forgot about it and then came back to it recently and I was like, I'm putting this on. I like the melody. I like the song. Before that was Junior Boys In the Morning. So that, which I think is, again, more accessible down the middle, but still weird. Willis, what did you think of Regal Deagle?
It's very, very trippy in the way they have this reverb going in the guitars, kind of going with a delay, kind of going back and forth in your headphones too. It's like goes left to right. It's a little bit disconcerting, but I think you tipped it off first in your notes, and I was like, maybe I should, so I was listening to this with kind of an ear for how's this, what's so weird about it? And it is weird, but I think it's got like this minor key chord progression, but then it kind of resolves when you get to the chorus, and so it goes back to major. So it's an interesting flip, but you can talk about your interpretation of that.
You're right about that minor major flip.
Is that what it is?
You looked at it right there from a more like a written music standpoint, right. And I think you're right about that because it does go from this sort of minor chord, sort of down and dirgy, quiet, yeah. And then all of a sudden there's this brightness that kind of enters with it. I don't know, like it just kind of feels like a shift, yeah. And he's not necessarily, but I wish he sang a little better. Or maybe they put the vocals a little more up front and put some punch behind them because it really is a beautiful melody. And he sort of escalates too as he's singing the chorus. And I really wish they'd accented a little bit more in the recording. Otherwise, maybe that's what keeps it from being like a bigger or more well-known song. Maybe that's the way they prefer it. But it's just strange to me that it just doesn't seem to cut through the way I want it to because it is a really nice song.
Yeah, I think for me it becomes this background song. It's a background song for your mood. It's not, I don't even really get what the lyrics were saying, so I wasn't listening at all. But I did appreciate there's a part where there's this thick wash of sound, like the guitars, and felt very Cocteau Twins sounding, just for a moment though, a couple of moments in there.
Right.
Between all the minor, major dynamics.
Yeah, you're right about the Cocteau Twins guitar. They use a lot of heavy chorus effect and almost flange going on there, which I think is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Common in Robin Guthrie's sound, guitar-wise, from Cocteau Twins. I feel like this group didn't really have much as far as success is concerned, or I don't even know if they have any other albums that followed this. But
probably because of the name, Regal Deagle. I don't even know what that means, but it really, really makes me think about that TV show Three's Company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they would always go to this bar downstairs.
The Regal Deagle.
The Regal Beagle.
Regal Beagle, right, right. So it's funny because I'm actually trying to see if I could find the lyrics for it. Mm-hmm. Because there's a part in the song that really does kind of hit nicely, and I know it, but I can't, it's not coming up in my brain right now. But when I first listened to it, I think maybe the first or second time I listened to it, I was in the car, I think I was driving to Target, and I was at a light, and I just kind of got like spaced out into the lyrics of the song, and it jarred me a little bit. It was just sort of like, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. But anyway, very unique kind of song. I said it's a peculiar choice, and you said that most of my choices are, you know, me being a peculiar, I don't know how you said it, but
that's peculiar is normal for you.
Yes, which is kind of funny and interesting at the same time.
A compliment, I was like, man. Okay.
Thank you. But I didn't think it was, listening to it right now, that it was as accessible as your song, and maybe that's a good thing because, you know, don't want to be too one note on any kind of set of music. But it didn't sound nearly as accessible as Junior Boys. But I do think it's important to expand your you know, your tolerance of music sometimes, and maybe going into places that you don't normally go. And I don't think, and again, I could safely say, or feel like I could safely say, most people listening right now have never heard of that band, have never heard of that song, and maybe you'll now go and track it down. Maybe you'll find something else by that band you like.
I think, to be fair, if I were to look at the Adept score on that one, it gets a 4 in trippy category and a 4 in atmospheric. Very, very spacious and up in the atmosphere. So okay. 2 fours in 2 categories is... It's hi-fi dream territory.
That's right. It's just not known enough to be played every day, but it is a worthy listen. Let's put it that way. So the last 2 tracks, I promise you, are not going to be as weird as that one. and I would also say that one of the two is very well known. One of the most well-known songs by one of the most well-known female artists of all time. Maybe the most famous pop artist of all time after Michael Jackson. So that gives you a little tease as to what's coming second. But first is this very kind of Portuguese vibe song by a group called The Knox, who I don't believe are in any way Portuguese or Brazilian or
Latin,
any of that, right?
Not even Latin.
No. They're not, okay. No,
exactly. They do dance music, right?
Yeah.
And that's their thing.
Sometimes too candy. It's too sweet for me. The Knox.
You know what? I just noticed they do have a new, fairly new release with a collaboration with Bronski Beat, doing Small Town Boy, and okay. I think it's worthy. It's worthy of a listen if you haven't heard it
yet. I will check it out.
But these guys do a couple other collaborations, and this one is called Brazilian Soul with Sophie Tucker, who we have. Featured before on Hi-Fi Dream, and I think you told me also they get a lot of play on the station.
Correct.
That's SOFITUKKER, Sophie Tucker. They are not Portuguese either, actually. They're a duo from Canada, but they're based in New York City. But they do spend time in Brazil, working with like poets and. One of the goals was of this band was to do a kind of a tribute to the Brazilian sound, like the bossa nova sound. And they specifically work with the poets to come up with the right way to sing this properly. And so Sophie, one of the members, she's, you know, in an interview, she kind of says, like, I learned how to sing in Portuguese before I could speak Portuguese, but in doing so, researching how to do this song called Brazilian Soul, she did learn a bit more of the language, and you know, she herself is German born, so it's a very interesting song with
wow
this kind of
so many song. Layers to that.
Exactly. I couldn't just leave it without saying all that.
Yeah.
But I really like the song. It pulls definitely a Latin vibe, which is it's a refreshing, I think, to now and then, and good, really good groove.
So there's only really one song on the station that I play by them that I love, called Walk on Water, but that has totally extinct enormous dinosaurs or whatever the hell it is.
Teed, right.
Yeah. And I love that song, but I don't love everything they've done. Some of their stuff sounds very pop, sounds very EDM, if my definition of EDM. But then there's other tracks that I've heard that are deep and really heavy and amazing. Not that I play them, but I mean deeper cuts by them. So yeah. It's sort of like this dichotomy that I can't figure out. Like either I really like the songs or I don't like them at all. And then so I was skeptical going into this, but I love Brazilian music. I'm actually a huge fan of bossa nova and anything with that sort of Portuguese sound or Brazilian sound. I'm very into it.
And vibe, right? So like a really chill, kind of sexy, relaxing
Cafe
vibe.
Del Mar kind of vibes, right? Which I think earlier in the show, one of the albums you played, the Bent album, is from a Cafe Del Mar soundtrack, which is known for that kind of sound, right?
Oh, okay.
Tropicalia, if you will. So the Tropicalia sound I love, going back to like Martin Denny and Stan Getz and Astrid Gilberto and even Herb Albert and these other artists, I love that sound. So I thought the name of the song would drag me in, thinking I would like it, and I really did like it. But I was also a little skeptical. What was I going to get here?
Right.
But I like Sophie Tucker, so that kind of leaned one way. But yeah, this is excellent. I immediately liked it. Immediately felt like it was a fit. Yeah, overall, I think this is a home run.
Cool. There's a little bit of pop, like,
sure,
elements in there that are a little bit cheesy, but I forgive them.
I forgive them too. And then the song I followed it with, there's a lot of that same pop in there, and I forgive myself for putting it in, because this, mine is a guilty pleasure song, and I don't have any guilt listening to Madonna, because I love Madonna, and sometimes I like songs of hers that maybe are written off as overplayed, but I still like them. Like Borderline, never got sick of it. Crazy for You, never really got sick of it. But there's some of them I have to admit. Like, I can't listen to Like a Prayer anymore.
No.
Whatever. I don't need to get into the songs I don't like. But this song, for whatever reason, has always stood out as one of my favorite Madonna songs, at least of her singles, like the Immaculate Collection version of Madonna's Greatest Hits. This is one of my favorites because there's something that, again, that Brazilian sound, that laid back early evening on the tropical island somewhere.
Yes.
You know, maybe a bonfire on the beach with some, like, what do they call that? La Sangria or something?
Yeah.
This is that song for me, La Isla Bonita. So,
I think, yeah, that's exactly the feeling I have about this song as well, because she's an icon and a legend. But this song is such a classic standout from her other bodies of work, right? And it's different. It's it is very Latin. It captures a Latin feel. She does speak a little bit of, I think it's Spanish.
Yeah.
Just for a couple of lines. But it really, I think that's what made it such a hit, I think, back in 1986 was, wow, Madonna really can stretch her style. And she did it well, I thought. And it became, I think it was probably top song, right, for...
Yeah,
it was definitely up in the charts and got a lot of play.
Absolutely.
But you can't get tired of it. I agree. Even though it's kind of unique for her style, I don't get tired of it. And again, I do get tired of Like a Prayer, just like you said. But this one, it's got enough, like, core musicality to it. I think that's how I would describe it.
She's known for basically changing her image and her sound pretty much every album, and I think this was the first sign of her expansion into different sounds, because as after this was sort of the Blonde Ambition phase, and then it kind of went into she changed her image so frequently and the sound of her music so frequently.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's why she was so important. But what's interesting is now younger people, I say younger people, people under the age of, say, 35, maybe 30, who didn't live through that with Madonna, who maybe were too young to see how important she was at the time she was there. Because now people are shocking all the time. She was shocking at a time when nobody was shocking, right? On TV and in videos, she changed the game. But they'll point out, well, Madonna doesn't even have a good voice. And okay, I think her voice is aesthetically pleasing. It's comfortable to listen to. Yeah, does she sing like Aretha Franklin, or does she sing like Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey? No. Hell, she doesn't sing like even some lesser known singers, right? But it doesn't really matter, because melodically it was great. The songs were legitimately good. Mm-hmm. And her singing was good enough, but it was everything else. It was the videos. It was the style. It was the, right?
She was the whole package.
She was.
And she had good production. She worked with good producers, I think, that really...
Very true.
...steered her voice the right direction so that you don't notice. Like, you don't even care that she's not singing like Aretha Franklin. But she did... I agree. She's got a unique voice. And it's not that you feel like she's the best vocalist, but she does enough to keep you there, interested and excited, because the way she carries herself too. It's funny that you mentioned that she reinvented herself. Do you remember the Dick Tracy album?
Of course I do. Hanky Panky.
I think it's called I'm Breathless.
Yeah, but Hanky Panky was like the song that she tried to get like as a big hit. It was all that 40s kind of
Exactly. The roaring. Even maybe felt like the 20s or something.
Yeah,
maybe. Calloway style. But I bought that thinking, oh, yeah, this is the new, but exactly what you were thinking. Like, she's reinvented herself. I love it. You know, and I listened to it. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
It was
know.
Terrible.
And,
it was bad.
It kind of came out with the movie Dick Tracy because I think she was actually in it. She played a character. I don't think that movie was very good.
It was kind of, it had a style to it. It was cool in that way, but it wasn't good.
That's true.
But there was another movie too that sort of another, I would say, misstep that kind of was being brave of her was the Evita movie.
Oh,
because that one really
was
supposed to highlight her voice. She was singing in like a classical style and it fell apart. But Don't Cry for Me, Argentina was sort of a remixed into a dance song that was kind of popular, but again, there were missteps in there, but for the most part, she was on point. And like the Ray of Light album, she kind of brought techno and trance into the mainstream with her songs. It wasn't that she reinvented it. Right. It was there before her, but she brought it to the mainstream with William Orbit, if you remember.
That that's my one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, same here. So anyway, this will be our last set. We talked a lot tonight. We played some great songs. We hope you liked them. It'll be The Knox doing Brazilian Soul with Sophie Tucker. Then Madonna's La Isla Bonita to wrap up the show for show 54. Great job today, brother. I appreciate you as always.
As it's always been a blast with you, and today was no different. This was blastful. What a
blastful. Great word. And let's two more songs, and then you and I will come back next week. We'll do this all over again. Hope everybody enjoyed, and thank you so much for listening and continuing the journey with us on the Deep Dive on Hi-Fi Dream.
Brasileira dancing into the daylight. De sonhe revelado. Don't know how but I try to. Seu jeitinho e o carinho. Something that I fly to. Quer saber de onde sou? Brasileira, meu amor, Brasil.
Yeah, São Paulo, Rio, Brooklyn Hills.
Quer saber de onde sou? Brasileira, meu amor, Brasil. Brazilian soul. My tambourine and the rhythm of samba.
chasing by.